Hey friends, welcome back to the show. I've been waiting to have this conversation with you because I often have this conversation with my coaching clients, and this is about how food impacts your mood. Leanne and I really get into the topic of undereating. We talk about practical things like adding minerals to our water. But really what's important here is, since I work with my clients in a very holistic perspective, meaning I don't just talk about their mental health, I'm very much concerned about their physical health and their spiritual health. And that's why I wanted to bring Leanne onto the podcast so we could have this conversation around how food is impacting our mood. Leanne is a certified holistic nutritionist, and she's a functional blood chemistry specialist. And she's helped women with the ketogenic diet to balance their hormones. She specializes in really getting in addressing the chronic root issues such as parasites, mold, and metal toxicity using just standard blood work. And I couldn't think of a better person again to come on and talk about how food impacts our mood. And again, this topic is near and dear to my heart because I'm somebody that for years was a undereater, overexerciser. I had body dysmorphia. I had an eating disorder. I didn't want to eat. I was afraid to eat. I was afraid to get fat. And all of that was impacting my ability to emotionally hear. It was impacting my ability to hear God and be in relationship with Him. So God made our bodies incredible. And sometimes they just need a little bit of extra help. I am still accepting new clients right now for one-on-one mental health coaching. You can go to jessicahoddle.com/mental health coaching to book a free consultation if you have been wanting to get to the root of your healing, of feeling like you're stuck, if you're wanting a breakthrough with the Lord, if you feel like you are just weary and stressed out. Let's talk about it. Again, go to jessicahoddle.com/mental health coaching, and all the links will be in the show notes. Okay, let's go ahead and get to this interview. Hey friend, do you want to overcome negative thoughts? Do you want to be able to discern whether it's your feelings telling you what to do or God? Are you praying for a mental breakthrough? I'm here to say that numbing out does not have to be your only option. Hard and bad things have happened in this world that need a safe space to be processed, and the church should be one of those places, and this podcast is one of those places. I'm Jessica Hoddle, a board-certified master mental health coach, author, and speaker. I help women overcome negative thought patterns to regain control of their lives. More importantly, I'm the big sister who is going to tell you the truth because I care. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about feelings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll be talking about practical ways to take care of your emotional and mental health while never losing sight of God. We're also going to be talking about how to study your Bible so that you can grow a deeper relationship with God. So pull up a chair, join me at the table. Let's get to the bottom of what's holding you back. Leanne, I'm really excited that you're here today. You know, it's not too often that I have guests anymore, but I knew that you were going to be special for my audience to hear because I was on your podcast, and you can make sure that everybody knows what your podcast name is. But what was important to me in our conversation is I'm all about the whole body. You know, even when I work with my coaching clients with their mental health and the relationship with God and healing, I'm always talking about, how are you moving? How are you eating? Are you eating enough? Because as you know, women think we're just eating all this food, but we're really eating like 600 calories, mm-hmm. you know? And so today I just want to open up. If you could talk just about the gap between our food, our nutrition, and how that impacts our mental health and vice versa.
Thanks for having me on. It was such a blast to have you on the show, and I'm totally honored, and hopefully I'll do a good job at all of this. There's a huge gap between our food, our nutrition, what we think about food, how we connect the two, and then also the result in our mental capacity. So many of us are either on one side of the camp or the other. Either we are super anxious and overwhelmed in dealing with mood issues, fatigue because we're not eating enough, or we're on the other side of things and we are dealing with very similar issues, but it's because we're eating too much of the wrong things. And so I think a big thing that we need to preface when it comes to this conversation is most women listening to your show are likely in more of the under eating category. And that's usually where I see most women who are interested in health and wellness and improving themselves are in the, I think I'm eating enough. But when you start tracking, it's like you said, 600 calories, maybe 1,000 calories. And so when we start looking at that and we start thinking about how the body interacts and what the body needs to even do simple tasks like alertness, regulating our mood, relaxation, sleep, appetite, digestion, all of these key components to having a healthy life require neurotransmitters, and neurotransmitters require nutrients. And so if you are only eating 600 to 1,000 calories, you're not getting enough of these nutrients. You're not getting enough choline or glutamine or tryptophan in order to regulate some of these key pieces. And so I think a lot of us are looking for this one ticket item that's going to help us with our whole health. But the real big thing that I see time and time and time again, and I'm sure you would agree, is we are just not eating enough. Mm-hmm. And we need to start there. And that is impacting all of those pieces all the way through.
I have a friend who her whole, I would call it a ministry, but her whole business is eating more to weigh less.
Mm.
And it's so countercultural to what we've been taught completely. I think of my coaching client recently who was kind of just struggling with negative thoughts, and even suicidal thoughts here and there. And we started talking about medication, and I'm not against medication at all. If you need it, you know, there's things, times and seasons, but I wanted to talk to her first about her eating and how she's moving her body, her stress levels. Cause there's other things that we can assess, right? Before we even go down that route. And when we started adding up her calories for the day, and she's a busy mom, she's working, she's taking care of her body, like she's doing all these things, and she was eating maybe 600 calories. She was always tired. I had her slowly start implementing just calories, like not a ton at once. And I want you to talk about that too, because you don't want to go from under eating to a bunch of calories, you know, adding 1,000 calories a day to your body, because that can also, you know, be hard and sometimes harmful on your body. But we just slowly started adding calories, and now she doesn't want to nap. Now when her son naps, she doesn't feel like she has to nap, just because we started implementing food and eating. And I didn't give her a guideline. I didn't give her a diet. I said, I just want you to focus on eating food that brings you joy.
Yeah. And I think that there are a lot of women that, and it's so great that your client was open to even talking about eating. I find there's also a huge group of ladies that when I bring up, let's talk about eating, that is the last thing that they even want to touch on. There's so much wrapped up in this. And as somebody who overcame an eating disorder, it's like telling you as an alcoholic that you need to go work in a bar. Unfortunately, when you're dealing with eating stuff, you know that you have to continue eating to survive. But when there's emotions and stuff all wrapped up with eating, it's this really challenging thing where you know you have to eat, but there's emotions wrapped up to it. So I'm really glad that that client was open to talking about eating. I find for so many ladies, they refuse to track. They don't want to track. The idea of tracking, the idea of even being conscious about their food is a challenge. And so I understand that this conversation too can be a trigger for a lot of us.
Yeah.
You had mentioned not eating a ton at once. And that's really true for many individuals, depending on their constitution. I think just if you're coming from that place of, what do you mean I should eat more? And your friend, you know, the eating more to weigh less. It's so true. But to flip that switch in our mind is hard. so hard. And so those baby steps of every week increasing by maybe 50 calories, 100 calories, you know, so maybe this week you're eating 600 calories. Next week it's 700 a day. The following week it's 800 a day. And you're slowly increasing and you can get to maintenance. You're not going to see much change, like from a scale perspective, mm-hmm. but oh man, just like what you said, you're going to see changes in relaxation and sleep and appetite, your digestion. You're not going to be constipated anymore because you're actually eating food. Like mm-hmm. all these key pieces, your skin's going to look clear because your bowels are moving. And so you start to see all these changes, but getting out of that mindset is a hard one.
I 100% agree. We both have come from eating disorders. I was actually under eating and over exercising and food. Everything was just bad. I was afraid of food. I think a lot of it was body dysmorphia as well. And tracking was a trigger for me. So that was something I asked her if tracking was a trigger. So I didn't have her count calories. I didn't have her do any of that. I just had her write down what she ate. And that was easy for her because I was like, I'll do all the other stuff. Like you just write down some things that you ate and that's all I want you to do. And so it's just, you know, finding out what is going to work for you. And typically I'll have them do it for like 3 days. Just give me like a write down what you eat for 3 days. But I would love for you to talk about this because it's something that she didn't even recognize. And I don't think a lot of us do is that when we start to under eat, our hunger hormone kind of starts to go away. And so you're like, well, I'm full and I only had 600 calories and I'm not really even that hungry. Can you talk about the kind of the psychological, the physiological effect of under eating and how hunger actually starts to go away? You don't feel hungry, but your body actually still needs the nutrients.
Yeah, it's a very real thing. I think it's become a lot more prominent too with diets like the ketogenic diet and intermittent fasting, where if you're coming from a space, same with Ozempic and GLP-1 inhibitors, like these things work because people are overeating. And so in those cases with ketogenic diets and intermittent fasting, in those cases, it can be helpful to have these individuals stop eating as much. But the conversation we're having is these are individuals that are not eating enough. And so as our body starts to downregulate from this, what oftentimes happens is that our adrenals will start to get involved and we'll actually have more and more and more issues with adrenal dysfunction. And that can also cause some of the issues moving forward. It really depends on an individual's constitution, but I often find that over time, what will happen is we'll start creating more cortisol and that will cause less hunger as we're kind of in this fight or flight situation of, you know, just go, go, go. And this is probably where you're going to have this lull or this boost of energy and you're not eating as much and things are really great. And oh my goodness, I just fasted through the morning. I have so much energy. And then all of a sudden your adrenals stop producing all those extra hormones. And then we get into the slump, which then is more of a, your body's not creating enough of cortisol and your body's not clearing, obviously, the cortisol that it doesn't have. And so this is more of an adaptive response. And that comes with then a downregulation of our metabolism, a downregulation of our thyroid. We're going to be dealing with fatigue and weakness and probably joint pain. These are individuals that are also going to deal with poor recovery from exercise. All of a sudden, maybe you were working out a whole bunch and now you started eating less, you had a bunch of energy and now you're not, and you're not hungry and you're not recovering well. You're waking up exhausted. You're having digestive issues, lowered libido. And so these are usually signs that we've pushed it a little bit too far. And we can even then deal with a lack of nutrients to support cortisol synthesis. So not only are you not producing enough cortisol because you're totally tanked, but you're also not eating enough and therefore you're not getting enough nutrients to like fix the problem. And so I find that to be one of the major issues. I think leptin and ghrelin are fantastic things that we need to talk about, but when it comes to leptin, which is the hunger hormone, or sorry, the satiation hormone, and ghrelin, which is the hunger hormone, how we correct this is by eating. So we got to start eating. Yeah, and so that's why it really comes back to like, you just got to eat more. Like there's no magic supplement or thing to like work your way through this without eating more. You just have to make it a priority.
I mean, I can't tell you how many years, a long, long time, that I would just have like a shake in the morning. And that was it. And I was always wondering by like why noon. I was just like kind of hungry, kind of headachy.
Yeah.
And then I would eat and I'd be like, okay, I feel better. And then like, I didn't put it together really. I mean, I've been in the fitness industry for 15 years. Do you know what I mean? It's just like you, even though as a fitness professional, even as you know of what the industry that you're in as a functional, even like you would say functional
medicine practitioner. Yeah.
You still struggle with your own things.
Oh yeah.
You know, of what you can't see, what you're blinded to.
Yeah.
But something that I think a lot of the women and the people listening is, you know, they're stressed. They're super stressed. They're overwhelmed. And you touched on it a little bit. And I kind of want to go back to it for a second is, you know, if they're not emotionally eating, because some of them will overeat or hide eating, you know, emotionally. And so they will say that they're binging. Sometimes I think it's not really a binge per se, is because they didn't eat all day. So now they're eating all their food. Yeah. But what I want to say is how stress also makes you not hungry. So can you just touch on that too? Because that you kind of did, but let's go into it a little bit more of how we become actually addicted to our own stress hormones, that adrenaline that keeps us going. And so we keep searching for the next thing to keep us going.
Yeah, I find for most women, when I do a Dutch test, oftentimes these individuals will have higher AM cortisol, which means that they have a higher anticipatory stress. So if you are the individual that wakes up and your first thought is, oh my goodness, my day, like I have to do X, Y, Z and like just, and she's off and there she goes. The last thing we're going to be thinking about is digesting and sitting down and having a calm meal. And in order to, it's not just about eating, but it's also about absorbing the foods that we're eating and fully assimilating everything that we are consuming. Our body is really smart in that what I oftentimes see is that women who are ultra stressed, who have this anticipatory stress, we're waking up and first thing in the morning, we're thinking, here are all the things I got to do. I got to take Johnny to this and Sally to this and blah, 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 on top of everything else. Because we're in that stress state and we're already high cortisol the minute we jump out of bed, our body's not going to digest in that state anyway. And so oftentimes, like all of the energy and even blood that's supposed to be in the digestive area to metabolize and break down and all the things are not there. They're all everywhere else. And so even if we were to eat in that space, that's oftentimes why if you, you know, pack a snack in your purse and you're like, I just got to eat something right now. And you're driving while also listening to an audiobook and yelling at the kids in the back, you end up getting a bellyache after eating because your body is not primed to eat that thing. And so in some ways, when we are not hungry and stressed, it's our body's way of saying, you're not going to digest this anyways. You're not going to assimilate this anyways. And in some ways, I believe it's more of an adaptive response of, I'm not hungry because I'm not in the zone to eat. And that's why, in addition to increasing our calories, you know, increasing the volume of food week over week, it's also when you're eating, I want you to sit down, smell the food, chew, be present, not watching TV, not listening to music, maybe chill music, not engaging in like crazy conversations or driving, because a lot can be said for just like taking our time while eating. So I do believe it's more of a response of when we are super, super stressed out, our body's not primed for digestion. So why would it be hungry?
Yeah.
All those resources are elsewhere.
That's so good. I think too, because what I love is I see the, I mean, it depends on who you follow. Cause what you, if you follow, you know, nurse practitioners and functional medicine doctors and practitioners online, you might see them everywhere. You might feel like it's just the topic everywhere. Right. Mm-hmm. But I do love to see the conversation opening up more of something I didn't even learn until probably 2 years ago was just minerals, basic minerals to your water. I didn't even think about it. I mean, I grew up but in my fitness, and I'm sure you went through this probably too, is pre-workout, you know, live on that pre-workout, die by that pre-workout, crash after your workout. You know, we live by caffeine and we think that it's good for us and all this. So let's get into a couple practicals. So minerals. Let's talk about minerals in case, you know, they've never heard of why just drinking plain water can not necessarily hurt you, obviously, because it still can be good, but why adding just even, you know, Celtic sea salt and things like that to the water can be so beneficial.
Yeah. So minerals, as a practitioner, I really didn't care too much about minerals for a really long time. And I was like, blah, 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 like whatever, not a big deal. You get enough from diet. And then I started studying the hair tissue mineral analysis testing. And I was like, oh, there's actually something to this. The most common mineral deficiencies that I see are sodium and potassium and magnesium. Sodium, potassium,
that
magnesium.
That was me. That is me. Yeah.
Like ongoing, ladies, we are burning through our magnesium like crazy. Yep. We are in need of massive amounts of sodium. Like you think you're having enough sodium, you are not. I can guarantee you, you're not having enough. And potassium is so absolutely essential for thyroid regulation. And nobody's talking about this. Like everyone's like iodine, selenium, selenium, iodine, potassium. You need potassium for your TSH to be regulated. And so because we know that we need these minerals and we're hearing people talk about this, we also need to care about the mineral balance of our water, because that's going to be a key way that we're going to keep that balance while also supplementing with the individual minerals we need. It's very much like the approach to B vitamins that we learned forever ago. If you're going to take one B vitamin, you should take them all, because they're sort of like a teeter-totter and a whack-a-mole game. And if you bring up one, the other one's going to go down and it's just a total mess. So instead of supplementing with just one B vitamin, we're going to bring in all of them at a right ratio. The same thing with minerals. So if you are drinking water from a tap that's not filtered, it's probably going to be high in radioactive elements. That's going to dysregulate a lot of your minerals, in addition to metals, which is also going to massively dysregulate your magnesium, which is going to cause blood sugar issues, which is going to cause eating issues, which is going to cause mood dysregulation. And so getting a clean water source, now people will maybe disagree with me on this, but I personally have chosen to drink either reverse osmosis or distilled water because they have zero anything in it. And then I can add the minerals manually to that water and have control over my mineral balance. And there are tons of different mineral selections to choose from. I personally choose either a fulvic based mineral or like Utah sea minerals. And I add a ton of drops in there. And that's what I drink. That's what I make my coffee with, my tea with. That's just the water that we use in our home. Now, if you choose not to go that route, spring water is probably going to be next best. And just making sure that you have that sourced correctly. And like you said, salt and salt quality is another big piece of that, because you can get a significant amount of minerals and also toxins from salt, just like you can water. And so myself personally, I choose a salt type called Colima salt. It's a natural sea salt and it's harvested at a certain time, so that doesn't have a lot of the impurities that other salts will. Mm-hmm. And even that change, switching your water and adding minerals to it, is like a 1-2 punch for the mitochondria, for cell regulation. And then if you're taking a magnesium or extra potassium or extra sodium, like with your electrolytes, it just goes that much farther. Maybe we can get into calcium shell if we want to, because it has a lot to do with emotions. But yeah, that's kind of like the introduction to the three core minerals that I see just everyone being imbalanced in.
And I think these are super, one, easy. You can get probably a lot of them on Amazon. These are going to probably cost you less than $20 for most things. And this is just something that you can, I feel like, easily implement almost, you know, if you're taking a big jug of water, just add enough minerals in there. Even with eating, that's another practical thing of just adding something. I'm not a huge fan of bars anymore. I'm pretty sure you're not, but like, it's not like, if you need to get something, a bar is not, just eat it. You know, and when it comes down to it, if you need something, this isn't about rules and laws, right? I'm sure you'd probably agree with that too, Leanne. Like,
yes,
if it comes down to it, I would probably say get a beef stick. or something like that. But I think just the, for me, when I started working with different practitioners, and because I always say to you, you got to fight for your health, right? And yes. It just didn't make sense. There was things that I knew deep inside that I don't think medication for me personally was going to help my TSH or my antibodies, because I just felt like there was my stress levels and all that. So it wasn't until about 2 years ago, I did my first hair analysis. And then I felt like everything made sense, because my adrenal, it showed how stressed my body was because of my minerals were so low.
And yes, like it was with crazy. With the adrenal ratio, like you said, that Na to Mg ratio, that's your sodium to magnesium balance. Two of the things that we talked about being out of balance. And when we have a high ratio, that's fast adrenals where you need to support a lot of magnesium. And when we have slow adrenal function, that's going to be all sodium work and also copper toxicity. So a lot of ladies who have had their gallbladders taken out, who deal with estrogen issues, like estrogen detox issues, high estrogen, are going to have not only sodium deficiency, but also copper toxicity. And that's going to throw off our adrenals like crazy. And so, yeah, having that, mm-hmm. having those tools and understanding minerals, I never thought I would say this as a practitioner. It's actually so valuable. And so yeah. I've really changed my mind on the mineral conversation, just seeing women, and also how easy it is to supplement with minerals and support minerals. Like, mm-hmm. Do you like drinking juices, like green juices? Great. Bone broth? Awesome. Adding salt to food, fantastic. That's really all we need to do. And then supporting little minerals here and there, like magnesium. I'm convinced you cannot eat enough magnesium. You need to supplement. And yeah. So there's certain mm-hmm. items that we need to add in. But yes, the mineral conversation is a huge part.
Well, and I feel like it kind of goes against what, you know, the battle between doctors and PCPs, and everybody has its place, I believe. So this might actually sound counter to what you know, putting salt on your food. How many times have we heard, take away salt, take away salt, take away salt? And again, I know some people might, okay, need to take it away. But for the majority of the stressed out, overworked, overwhelmed, mamas and the people that listen to my podcast are probably right falling into that category where we probably need to eat more, move our bodies, add some minerals. And what, as we kind of wrap up, because I know we could probably talk about this forever because we're both passionate about it, what is something else that you want them practically to take away to even just help regulate the mental health side and help their bodies get what it needs?
Yeah. So many things that you just mentioned, like the stressed out, the spazzed out, this is an acidic state that our body is in, and sodium is a natural alkalizer. And so I wanted to touch on that too, because we just live in a more acidic state and sodium is going to bring that back. I think when it comes to just, if there was one piece that I could kind of leave you with as you move forward with your own health and diet, I've been amazed at how loud everything has gotten as the internet has gotten bigger and bigger and social media has gotten bigger and bigger. And there's so many resources out there to help. And I would encourage you from this conversation, maybe choose one thing that you want to try on to see if it fits for you. Like one thing to just try on, because I think when we're talking about the emotional connection and just all the things, it can be easy to kind of sit down with your notepad and start writing down all the things you want to change. And that can just be so overwhelming for so many of us. And also too, you know, as a practitioner, and you touched on it previously, Jessica, is like, we struggle with our own things too. And oftentimes when I get frustrated, I come up with a list of 50 things I'm going to change. And then I do it the next day. And then I just get overwhelmed. I get frazzled. I don't know which one is working and which one isn't. And so a big, big piece of this conversation is just choose one thing. Choose one thing this week that you're going to shift and see how it fits for you. And if it doesn't, put it back in your toolkit, you know, make a little note to yourself. This didn't work because of XYZ. Listen for one more thing and just try on one thing at a time, because you'll know whether or not it's working. And if you are just so lost and you have zero confidence in even choosing that one thing and it's just overwhelming, you're probably going to need a buddy, either a significant other or a friend or a coach to tell you what the one thing could be that you could do. Because sometimes it's just when we have lost that confidence in our bodies, it's really hard to choose the one thing, to know if the one thing is working. And so know that you're not alone if you're feeling like that's just where you're at.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And it's so good. And to piggyback off of that, you know, the way God made our bodies is amazing. Like, honestly, they always want to take care of, like, God made our bodies to take care of themselves. We just have to support them and give them a little bit extra. And something that too is you're going to find, you know, practitioners and doctors, they're going to have different views on things. You know, some people are like, we don't do zinc, or I have this view of zinc, or, you know, whatever it may be. And I love getting different opinions, but that, like you said, can be so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I would even say, if you want to focus on minerals, then say, okay, I'm going to get tested. The whole test, don't guess thing.
Amen.
And I'm just going to say, I'm going to put money aside to get a mineral test and find a practitioner that can do that. Because most doctors, PCPs, they're not going to do that at all. So you might have to find somebody that is functional to, a lot of them can do it online because everything's sent out. You do the hair analysis yourself, but doing the whole test, don't guess, because for a while somebody was putting me on adrenal desiccated, which is for the adrenals, but it was actually making me revved up. So even though it's a mineral and it's still natural, it was still making me revved up and it wasn't helping because I wasn't actually getting to the root, which was basically my minerals. So I think all of that is great. And they're probably wondering too, Leanne, like, can I work with Leanne?
Yes, definitely you can. There are a couple of ways that you can connect with me. We chatted a little bit about Jessica being on my show. That's the Healthful Pursuit podcast. So you can check that out. I have like tons of episodes. I don't even know. I think we're at like 450 or something. So there's lots there for you. And then if you want to learn more just about seeing some of these imbalances in your own blood work, like if you have a panel and you need direction now, there's a really great resource that I've put together. It's called the Blood Work Course, and it just takes you through how to understand your standard blood work. That's probably the best way to just get started. And that's at healthfulpursuit.com/bloodwork. Mm-hmm. And we go through blood chemistry, how to look for imbalances in your blood work. You can look at your guts. You can look at your gut, your minerals, your imbalances, and start working from there. And it just gives you a really good understanding of what your cells are desiring, as opposed to just closing your eyes and like picking something to work on.
Yeah. And we'll make sure we have the links for that. And to also know that I feel like we have to say this, because if you've gotten blood work and you've been told that it's fine,
yes,
most practitioners in the functional medicine will say you're not fine. And this is really is a better range here. That every time it happens to me, it's like, actually, I would love to see your glucose here, or I'd love to see your, you know, whatever is here. So if you're still feeling like they keep telling you that you're okay, but you don't feel okay, that's when I just say, fight for your health, go find someone else, like Leanne, and just take it one step at a time. So any other words, Leanne?
I think we nailed it.
Okay. I think we did too. All right. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I know that, I mean, we could keep going forever, like I said, but guys, just focus on one thing. Go follow Leanne and just go work with her. She's great. And we'll just talk to you guys later.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life, and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because he delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.